Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. But Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." It says in Acts 2, 4 that they spoke in tongues and prophesied, and I understand that. But Acts chapter 1, verse 8 doesn't mention speaking in tongues. It doesn't mention the edification of ourself. It says, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, right, and you shall be witnesses unto me."
Amen.
The Spirit of God was given to help us win souls. The power of God to help us to win souls. And we need to be about the Father's business. But if you look at that verse, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me." Notice what it says. "Both in Jerusalem," that's number one, "and in all Judea," that's number two, "and in Samaria," that's number three, "and unto the uttermost parts of the earth," that's number four. There's a progression, it seems. But if you look through the book of Acts, you see that progression carried out. You see that pattern fulfilled and walked out. You see the apostles following that pattern, but you also see the leadership of the Holy Spirit in that pattern. Praise God. Praise God. I remember I've been to Haiti a few times. I guess I've told you that enough times you're tired of hearing it. But one of the times that I went, this may have been in 2000 or 2004. I forget exactly the date. One of the places we go, and I've been to Port-au-Prince. That's the big city, and everybody's there, and what have you. And that's good. I'm happy to preach in Port-au-Prince, but I also want to go to the regions beyond you, it says.
Yes.
Want to go up in the woods. We went to Kinskoff at one point, and it's beautiful there. It's accessible from Port-au-Prince, I suppose. We took a bus as far as we could go. Then they went off. They dropped us off, and then we walked 3 or 4 miles and up the mountain and what have you. And that's great. But we also go, if you look at the map of Haiti, obviously half of the map is another country, Dominican Republic. But if you look at Haiti itself, it's shaped, I guess, kind of like a horseshoe laid on its side. I went to the southern tip all the way to the end. And we actually went into town one day to buy some stuff, I suppose. And so I've been to the absolute end of the southern tip of the island. But we have a couple of churches on the mountain. And actually, if you kind of go over the crest of one of the mountains, you can see the Caribbean. We have two churches. We fly out to Jeremy. I guess it's about a 45-minute flight. And then we hop some kind of local transportation, which is essentially a pickup truck with, I guess you can call it a doghouse on the back. And there are benches, and there's a little, like I said, roof to keep the rain off. And you hop into the back of that, and it's crammed full of people. And we go about an hour and a half down a washboard road and cliffs and rivers and all of this stuff. And then we get out of the Tap-Tap, it's called. Then we have to walk about an hour uphill. And we have to carry everything that we have, our suitcase, whatever food or whatever we have, we have to carry it uphill. It's about an hour's walk or so. I go a little bit faster. The pastor's wife's got a bum knee, so she goes a little bit slower, I guess. But it averages about an hour. We have one village that we preach in. It's called Montagnac. You've trust me, you've never heard of it. It's absolutely in the woods. And on the other side of a little rise, over a rise and go through a valley and back up the other side, there's another little village called Lagon Brie. And that is about a 45 to 50 minute walk between the villages. It is extremely difficult. The last time I went, I didn't know if I'd get back, actually. It's just very, very strenuous to walk from one village to the other. And because it's so remote, and because the people that run the churches, they live in New Orleans. They're expatriate Haitians. They live in New Orleans. And they make a couple of trips a year or whatever they can do, and they will bring things, they will bring supplies, and they will check on the church or the churches, and there's a school. And they do their business, all the not legal work, but administrative work of the church and the school and whatever. They do that whenever they're in town. And once a year they have a big convention. It's generally like June or July or something, and that's the big thing for the year. And while they're there, like I said, they do all of the administrative work. And as it happened, there were two people that got married, two separate weddings, that time that I was there. And one of the weddings was in Lagon Brie. I forget where the other one was, but they held two weddings, one day and then the next day or whatever. And I'm the guest evangelist. This is their church. They're the ones that go all the time, but I'm the guest evangelist. And before the actual ceremony, the pastor said, "Brother Kelly, would you like to preach?" And I said, "Yeah, might as well, man. That's what I came for." And I said, "Lord, what do you want me to preach?" And he said, "Cast the net. Cast the net." I cannot tell you which sermon I preached, but at both of these weddings, I preached a salvation message. And it's a little, I guess the building is maybe this as big as this church, maybe a little bit smaller, but you've got probably 200 people crammed in it, and they're sitting on each other, etc. And they're all dressed up, and it's hilarious. "But cast the net," he said. And I don't remember what I preached. But I gave an altar call, and it's standing room only, and it's people on top of one another. There's no way I could have anyone to come forward. But I said, "If you listen to me preach, and the Lord has touched your heart and spoken to you, and you want to become a Christian, lift your hand." And about 50 people at each wedding ceremony said, "I want to be a Christian." And I led them in some kind of a prayer, whatever. I'm so happy to be able to preach the gospel in foreign countries. So happy. But in Acts chapter 8, in verse 5 it says, "And then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." Again, first in Jerusalem, then in all Judea, and in Samaria. We're up to Samaria. And then finally, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Later on, it says in chapter 14, verse 17, it talks about a sign that the kingdom was entrusted to the apostles. And I'm going to get more into detail about that the next time I'm privileged to preach at Brother Mays. But you see, God was leading the church, leading the apostles who were the head of the church at that time. Of course, Christ is the head, but Christ went back to heaven and he left his kingdom here for us to care for. If the church is going to be built, if the lost are going to be won, if the Sunday school is going to be started and cared for, yes, it's us, the church, that need to do the work.
That's right.
But also, one day Christ is coming back and he's going to call us to account. He's going to take a reckoning to see if we've done what we were called to do. And I hope that the Lord can tell us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."
Amen.
In Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch And Philip ran thither unto him in verse 30 and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest what thou readest? But in verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began to preach at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And after that he was baptized and he went on his way back down to Ethiopia. Again, as a missionary sent back to his own country to preach the word of God. In Acts chapter 10, we read about the Gentiles and Cornelius. In Acts chapter 11, when the story is told in verse 1, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. But Acts chapter 11, but in verse 15, Peter said, and as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Praise God, that sign on the day of Pentecost when the fire fell from heaven. But they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance, and perhaps they prophesied. But again, a sign from heaven. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell upon them as on us at the beginning. Again, a sign from heaven that God was saying, you're on the right track. You need to go to the Gentiles. You need to preach to the Gentiles to win the world, if possible, to Jesus Christ. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave unto them the gift as he did us, who believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? Which he said what he said, but I'm thinking, God wants you to go to the Gentiles and win the lost. But again, the apostles were fearful. They were fearful. They didn't quite know what to do. But God, by his Spirit, gently led them. And at times gave a miraculous sign showing, you're on the right path. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. But there's one more thing I would like to look at. That's in Luke chapter 12. And we've all heard this parable. And I won't read the whole parable. But the bit I read, you'll understand, you'll remember it. Luke chapter 12, verse 45. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants, and to eat and drink and be drunken.
Yes.
Then the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. God help us to be about the Father's business.
Oh, yes.
And again, I'm happy that I went to Haiti. I hope I can go to other places. Perhaps God would help you to win souls, maybe even across the street, who knows. But to be involved in soul winning. But if we forget God's call, if we forget the Great Commission, if we get our minds on other things, he even says, and to beat the men servants and maid servants. I don't quite understand what he's referring to, but his point was that instead of trying to win souls, they've gotten involved in other things, other churchy things, and other, I guess, abusive things. But in verse 46, he says, one day, when you least expect it, Jesus is going to come back. And those ministers that have not done right, and have purposed in their heart to do wrong, thinking that, well, you know, man, it's been 2,000 years, Jesus ain't coming for a while, I'm good. One day, he's going to come back. And again, when they least expect him. And he's going to hold a service. He's going to separate those that have done right from those that have done wrong. Those that have had 10 talents, he's going to give 10 more. But those that had the one and said, I'm afraid, I buried it in the sand or whatever, and effectively did not do the work of the gospel, they're going to be disappointed on that day. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for helping me to preach the Word of God. Please speak to the hearts of the people now and continually. I want a move of God, like I said, in the hearts of those I preach to. And I'm asking, Lord, that you would grant what I request. And I know from the scriptures we've read that that's the thing I should be praying for. In Jesus' name, amen. And as I sing, if the Lord has spoken to you, please, these altars are certainly open. But I'd like that you not come just because I gave an altar call. I'd like you to respond to the Spirit if He's spoken to you.
You heard it a while ago, you heard it again. Sorry. Pray that you see, sir, come around the altar, whatever you desire. Thank God for what God has given us today. Hallelujah. Precious Lord, today. Oh no, but I believe
burdens that my Savior bore. I never saw the crown of thorns that my Jesus wore. And I never saw that lonely hill where he was crucified. No, I never saw it, but I believe for me he died. And
church,
in every drop of blood he shed,
I'm glad he shed it just for me. Can I get a witness here tonight?
Now there's a lot of things, oh thank you Jesus, that I cannot see.
Opportunity to see, but I'm so glad that I believe that when Jesus died, even over 2,000 years ago, before thank you, Jesus. I believe Jesus had me in mind. Hallelujah.
I never saw rusty nails that they drove through his hands and his feet. And you see, I wasn't there to hear him say to his father, why hast thou forsaken me?
Remember the reading this.
I never saw the Roman soldiers when they pierced him in his side. But when he hung his head in the locks of his shoulders, I believe for me he died. In every step he took to
somebody off the shelf, praise the Lord.
And every drop of blood he shed,
I'm glad he shed it
just for me.
Now there's a lot of
things
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.